Sluts and Scholars, a podcast for professionals who prioritize pleasure.
You are listening to a pleasure podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Sluts and Scholars is a podcast produced by Sluts and Scholars Media, LLC. It is a shame-free educational podcast made for your entertainment and informational desires only. The podcast, any opinions we share, and any resources, including social media and emails from us, are not therapy, medical care, or professional advice, and do not create a patient-client relationship. None of the information, opinions, suggestions, resources, or exercises mentioned in this podcast should be used without clearance from your healthcare provider. All opinions, information, and ideas expressed by the guests are solely their own. If you need emergency mental health or medical help, please call 911 or 988 or go to your nearest emergency center. We hope you enjoy the show. Welcome back to another week of Sluts and Scholars, the podcast for professionals who prioritize pleasure. I'm Nicoletta Heidegger, and I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist and sexologist. And this week, I am welcoming Lily Sparks. She is the founder and CEO of Afterglow, an ethical porn site designed to help women step into their sexual power. She creates porn you can learn from through sexy videos that are educational, but still hot enough to masturbate to. Lily is an entrepreneur addicted to creating positive change in the world, which she is doing, a believer in the power of shame-free pleasure. She's been featured everywhere from Forbes, the New York Times, to South by Southwest, and is an enthusiast of spending time outside, dancing, and listening to good music, preferably all three at once. Welcome, Lily.
Hello, I'm so excited to be here.
Hi, so excited to have you. And you know, it's coming at the perfect time because as I was telling you before we started the show, I just did an interview on this big podcast with Sean Mike Kelly, and it's like a more of a mainstream, you know, type podcast. And they posted some little clips of mine that I did talking about like the benefits of porn and watching porn with a partner and like, is it bad for you? And the trolls in the comments are wild. I've like been trying to go back and forth between like posting, replying witty things, not engaging, which is what I've chosen to do, and you know, giving them scientific fact research articles because they're saying like, this isn't what the science says. And I'm just like, but I'm just sort of letting them troll by themselves.
Yeah. And the science says that people who watch porn, especially with a partner, have higher relationship satisfaction because like having great sex is really important to the health of your long-term relationship. And I feel like people don't value it enough.
Yes. Well, please feel free to share any other research you know about it. And I will name for people out there listening that like, yes, there are some researchers that say watching porn can cause relationship dissatisfaction and other negative side effects. And so important to look at who's making the research, right? Who is it funded by? Do they have some type of, you know, moral something involved in the research they're making? Additionally, a lot of people will take a headline and just run with it. And so a lot of times there may be a correlation, but we don't know if that means there's a causation. So for example, people who are saying, well, I'm watching porn and my relationship sucks. Are they watching more porn because their relationship sucks? Or does their relationship suck because they're watching porn? Questionable.
Yeah. And it's like, are they watching porn because like, is it a secrecy? Is it a shame thing? You know, right. Is it something they don't feel like they can talk to their partner about? And so they're using that as an outlet versus just having porn as a tool in your sex life, you know, both with yourself and with a partner, which is definitely like what we promote at Afterglow.
Yeah. And I want to talk so much more about that, but just to like, give it a framework on Afterglow specifically. I think one of the other, to me, foundations of like, is this porn helpful, entertaining, pleasurable, or quote unquote harmful, is who's making it, right?
Yeah.
And sort of what's their involvement?
How are you using it? Yeah.
Exactly. How are you using it? Just like anything else, right? Like a tissue box could be dangerous if you use it improperly, right? So I'm curious, you talk about being porn. Ethical porn for women. What does ethical porn even mean to you?
Yeah. So how I like to explain it is ethical porn is people care about the effect of what they're making on the world. Most people say, like, is mainstream porn ethical? Is it not ethical? You know, I like to say most porn is run like every other capitalist industry in the world, where they're trying to make the most money. They're trying to get the most clicks, and, you know, they're going to do everything they legally can to make that happen. Mainstream porn does not want there to be any, you know, child sexual abuse material. They don't want there to be any revenge porn. You know, they have serious content moderation issues, just like Facebook, just like Instagram, just like every other platform that we use. They're just as ethical as Facebook and Instagram, which, you know, like, take from that what you will. And ethical porn is really just people who are trying to make something better. And it can mean really different things for different people. So it a lot of times ties to treating people well, paying people fairly, making sure there's consent throughout the production process, make sure there's consent in how the content is distributed and where it's going to show up. And also sometimes to some people, it's about, you know, what stories are being told. Are we telling diverse stories with diverse performers? Are we aiming it at a different audience than kind of the mainstream porn, you know, typically made for men?
Well, I love that you compared it to like any other industry in capitalism, because it's like, I mean, this is a whole other conversation, but then we could sort of ask, like, is anything in capitalism ethical?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Because there are so many things that we do, even if on paper it's not necessarily ethical, but it's like, oh, well, I had to sign this release form to do this, or we had to do this thing to promote and market our stuff, even though that doesn't feel that great for me. It's like, well, I guess we have to do that to market. Like, it's so interesting because there's a lot of gray area in terms of like what are ethics based on the culture in which you live.
Yeah, very much.
What I like to add to the ethical piece is that like the folks involved in it, or at least the performers, are involved in the production in some way, shape, or form. And so, you know, that doesn't mean that they necessarily have to be the producers or, you know, certain roles within it, but that there's some type of involvement of a like bias for us sort of thing. I really like that.
Yeah, because a lot of mainstream sets, you know, performers will show up that day and they won't really know who they're performing with, or, you know, they'll expect to be doing a basic boy-girl scene. And then they get there and they're like, oh, we're going to do anal today. Are you cool with that? And then there's, you know, that pressure to do something that maybe you didn't expect, you weren't prepared for, you weren't ready for. And we really, at Afterglow, it's like people know who they're performing with when they show up, what they're going to do, what the script is. You know, pretty basic stuff, we think.
Any tips for the consumer when they're like looking online and they're like, I want to watch these videos, to more responsibly consume their content? Because obviously you can hear that both of us are advocates for finding pleasurable content, and for people who are like, yeah, and I care about what I'm consuming. I want it to be ethical. How can we tell?
Pay for it. That's the easiest way. Pay for your porn, because then you are contributing to those creators being able to make more of that kind of content that you like. So if you like it, pay for it, and then it will support the people to make more of it.
Well, and as you said, it's more standardized too, right? Because if it's coming from a company and they're, unfortunately, this has a double-edged sword, because if it's coming, then there's a payment processor, then that brings up some other issues, which is like a lot of payment processors don't support adult work. So it's a little bit catch-22, but if there's more of these standardized things, then you know they're having to sort of respect other business things, versus like where anyone can post or anyone can submit. It's harder to track or trace, and clip sites just have so many clips coming in. It's hard for like anyone to be responsible for that.
Yeah.
Well, I know you slutty scholars listening are ready to pay for your porn if you aren't already. I want to invite you to check out all that Afterglow has to offer. Afterglow has generously sponsored some of this episode, so thank you so much, Lily. You can get a free 7-day membership to Afterglow. Just go to sluttyscholars.com and click on Afterglow to claim your free trial. Our code is XOSCHOLARS. Okay. Back to what we were talking about.
And I did want to jump back to kind of what we were talking about at the beginning with like the science and the research. And
please
go on my soapbox that a lot of people don't know that porn addiction is not a actual DSM-5 diagnosis. Like, it doesn't exist according to the current literature.
Yes, and not recognized by the DSM, by the World Health Organization, or by the ICD, which is the international version of the DSM.
Yeah. And that a lot of the research around, you know, porn hijacks your brain and like changes your brain chemistry. And a lot of the negative stories we hear about porn are funded by a particular like conservative religious organization that was trying to get Sports Illustrated magazine shut down like 40 years ago. And then they really kind of realized the futility of that and turned their campaigning and their energies towards really eradicating porn. And they don't believe that like there's any way to do any positive things with porn, and that any woman who participates in it, you know, has something wrong with her, and, you know, perpetuating a lot of these kind of negative beliefs around porn.
Yeah. And that's what's so frustrating is, so on these clips I was telling you about earlier that folks were commenting on, they was like, well, this is the, you know, research says that porn is bad, but most people are not taught to have like a discerning lens when they look at their research, right? We just look at maybe the tagline, but no one's looking at, what are the limitations? Who is funding this research, like you're saying? And so, you know, for the layperson who doesn't know, like, yeah, they could be being taught incorrect bias, you know, information that doesn't show all the sides of things. One of my favorite comments someone put on it was, whores should be banned from the internet.
And like 100%, that guy is watching porn. Like,
he's probably jerking off to my clip too.
100%. Like, the people that are the most against it, are the ones that like it. There's actually a study done that showed that with both watching porn and with casual sex, if you believe it's bad for you, you will have negative psychological impacts from it.
Because your narrative matters.
Yeah. But if you believe it's good for you, then it will be a positive force in your life.
Yes. Oh my
gosh. Which I think is like mind blown. I find that super, super fascinating.
Yeah. Someone else commented, you ever wonder if maybe there were really witches in Salem? Yes, you should read the book Witches, Sluts, and Feminists, everybody. It was funny. I texted because it was on a clip about like, should you watch it with a partner? And I texted my partner afterwards and I was like, how does it feel to be dating a witch, whore, demon, Satan worshiper? It feels great.
He's like, yes, please.
Exactly. Okay, so how do you decide what goes on afterglow? So you're talking about like, you know, making sure things are ethical, like as you've been putting together like what content goes on there. How do you decide? There's so much great stuff out there.
Yeah. So we like to look for it being like female pleasure focused. Like, women are our target audience. So we really want to just have the whatever we put on there feel like the female performers are really having an authentically good time and enjoying themselves. It could be a kinky type of enjoying themselves. It could be a gangbang enjoying themselves, but really just like centering around female pleasure is one thing. And then we do vet all the films that we put on. We make sure we have all of the like performers' consent forms. We make sure there's the right to distribute. And we really try to focus on people who we know in the space are other ethical producers.
Yeah. I know you're probably not supposed to have favorites because it's like all of your children. And are there any companies or things that you've tapped into a lot that you're like, oh, we usually know that this is quality stuff?
Yes. It's funny because when I started Afterglow, you know, I started it because I was on Pornhub and I was like, for women. And, you know, what I found just wasn't, I was like, this is not for me, even if it's like just kind of the same porn I see everywhere. And now that I'm in the industry, I'm like, oh, there's actually like so many really awesome, cool, like independent producers out there. So I love 4Play Films by Inka Winter. We have some of her stuff on our site. Royal Fetish Films by Jet Setting Jasmine, mm-hmm. who is also a licensed therapist and performer and all around inspiration.
Totally.
And, you know, Erica Lust, obviously the OG, you know, love her stuff as well.
Yeah. And porn for women. So I had the creator of Dipsy on recently, mm-hmm. Gina Gutierrez, and we were talking about like gender differences and that, you know, even though it's quote unquote for women, like I've been on Afterglow, there's awesome stuff. Like there's something for everyone, in my opinion. Yes. And what you're saying is it's like, this is sort of a place where we're like uplifting and celebrating pleasure that is not necessarily kind of the mainstream stereotypical quote unquote male gaze. And so what are some sort of common elements that you see that make it quote unquote for women?
Yeah. And, you know, for women is definitely kind of like a loaded term, and because women love so many different things.
Right.
We are a very unique, diverse group of people.
Yep.
But kind of some fun facts, women search for rough sex and gangbangs more than men do.
Nice.
More into that. And lesbian porn.
Get it, girls.
Super, super popular, you know, and some of that is because like, it's not male gazy. It's just all women pleasure is some of the theory behind that.
Yeah. Well, the people commenting on my clip, I would say would probably be like, there's no way that like women would enjoy rough sex and gangbangs, you know, but it's like, but they're telling us that as opposed to the women who are like, no, I'm searching for this.
Yeah.
Any other research findings you found interesting just around like interests or popular search terms and things like that?
Yeah, not only lesbian porn, but also gay porn. Like on the flip side, sometimes, you know, women just love all the manliness and how, you know, bunch of hot bodies. Maybe they like the anal sex aspect as well. Yeah. And it's like more of a balanced
I like the animalistic,
gender dynamic.
I like the animalistic element of it. Not all of it, but I feel like I see that a lot. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we've got gangbangs, we got rough sex, lesbian stuff.
Yeah, definitely like the stereotype of like soft and sensual. You know, women do like that, but there's just so much beyond that that women love.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's the story. And I think that's what's like put into quote unquote women. But yeah, like you said, maybe we need to break down the gender piece of it. I mean, I think it's important that we say that because it's important that we acknowledge it. And I think it can create this like categorization that there's people of all genders who like what you're describing, but they feel like, oh, well, this is like men are supposed to like porn without stories, just like straight to the fucking, right?
Yeah. And yeah, it's, we've gone like we've had this conversation Afterglow so many times of like, we've said we're bi women for everybody.
Yeah.
We have a lot of men that really want to see like women's pleasure centered. Like they want that same kind of porn that you would typically associate for women. And they're not even embarrassed. They're like, yes, I want it. Give it to me, please.
But I mean, I feel like that should be every viewer. And as you're saying, that doesn't mean that there can't be things that are like seem torturous for the woman, but she's like, this is about torture for my pleasure. Right.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's wild to think that it's like a women's category when we think of like porn for women is about women's pleasure that like otherwise it shouldn't be definitely
like
not.
That should just be the baseline, like everybody should be enjoying themselves.
Yeah, even if you're like play that you're not enjoying yourself, or if you get enjoyment out of like some torture, still enjoying yourself.
We shouldn't need a category for like sex is fun.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you can make that. Are there any current top videos that you're seeing on Afterglow?
Usually our new releases are really awesome. So we have a amazing Afterglow original called Tell Me, which is really fun. And it's about kind of a hookup that turns into a weekend long, it's like a 3-part series, one for each day. Oh,
love those. One drink turns into a whole
it turns into like a whole fling, and it's really cute. They're like playing video games together. Like, it's very sweet. And on Valentine's Day, we're releasing our next Afterglow original, which is called Arousal. And it's challenging the notion that sex in a long-term relationship is boring. It's a long-term relationship. It's like a work from home. It's like a work from home vibe. And there's kind of, it shows like the ups and downs of the relationship throughout a day.
I can't wait to see this.
It's really good. Yeah. There's like flirting, fighting, fucking, making up. It's amazing.
Wow. That's amazing. And like, there's some realistic elements to it. It sounds like that's so important.
Yeah. This one does have the story aspect to it. And it's really fun to kind of combine, like, the performers are amazing because they're able, and like, I have so much respect and like look up to them, because it's so hard to have sex in front of a camera and act, and like act without your clothes on. Like, yeah. They're amazing.
Seriously. I know sometimes people give like porn performers a hard time for like the acting in videos, but like, it's a lot of things they're having to do.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of the biggest misconceptions is that it's easy to be a porn performer. Like, it's really, really difficult.
I mean, that film Arousal sounds so relatable, though, as someone in a long-term relationship. And I get so many clients who struggle with that theme and topic. Remember, y'all can check it out for free and get a 7-day free membership to Afterglow. Just go to sluttyscholars.com. That's sluttyscholars.com. And click on Afterglow to claim your free trial using the discount code XOSCHOLARS. And
I would love to talk about, because this relates to the new Valentine's release, which I hope everyone will check out. I can't wait to watch it. About porn being educational. Mm-hmm. And so as an educator, as a therapist, you know, I'm often giving the spiel, I'm sure people have heard on here before, the like, what we say in our field is like, you don't learn how to drive from watching The Fast and the Furious. So you don't learn how to have sex from watching porn. And mostly that's because most of us don't have comprehensive sex education. So we can't differentiate what is fantasy. And there certainly are things people can learn about porn if they have a, you know, view of comprehensive sex ed. What ways have you seen porn be educational, and how does that show up on Afterglow?
Yes. So our whole thing at Afterglow is like, porn you can learn from. And we really believe that porn can be educational, and it, like, there's no, mainly because there's no other place currently in our society that you can go to see other people having sex. Like, you can't go anywhere else to actually see what sex looks like. So default, we're all learning from porn, and like, that's what's happening. And we just kind of need to accept that. And again, like, have the comprehensive self education to build around that. And also at Afterglow to just have better porn where you can actually learn helpful things from. And like, that's what we try to do with all of our original films, is like, kind of have something you can take away from them. So we have our kind of original, what I'm calling our Afterglow originals, which are really just porn. They're sexy, they're hot, but within the stories, we always like to have a little something special. Mm-hmm. So a great example of that is our film Lip Service, where it's a woman telling her partner how she wants him to perform cunnilingus on her. And then we also have a whole series called EduPorn, which is explicitly educational. Like, mm-hmm. people are instructing and talking through, you know, how to hook up, or how to peg your partner, or how to have sex outdoors, but they're still hot and you can still masturbate to them.
Yes. Well, and like, I think it's hot to learn. I think a lot of people, and look, I don't want to yuck anyone's yum. Like, you know, a lot, like, people who like action movies, you know, they don't necessarily want to see the stunt people and like how the sausage is being made, so to speak. They just want to see like the finished product. And that's cool. And it's unfortunate if that's your only sex education, because then you're like, oh, this is this reality, right? Yeah. And a lot of people like documentaries, right? And so this is more like documentary combination style, right? Where people are able to learn and there's some realisticness, but that doesn't mean it's like any less amazing.
Yeah. And we also have behind the scenes for all of our films where you get to see the performers, kind of get to see their personalities a little bit more, learn a little bit more about the inspiration, a little bit more of that behind the scenes feel.
Well, and maybe, I don't know if you show this, but maybe some of the preparation work, right? Like these folks are sexual athletes, you know, like whether they're stretching or preparing with hydration or lube or things to make it so their period isn't happening that day, or posing in this way. Like there's so many things happening.
Yes.
This episode is sponsored in part by Dipsy. Dipsy is an app full of hundreds of short, sexy audio stories designed by women. For listeners of the show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/S&S. Let me tell y'all how I've been spending my rainy, cold winter nights. Listening to Killian, the Irish pub owner on Dipsy. That accent, though. The stories are truly immersive and a lovely way to escape to a fantasy, pleasure-focused realm. Just do yourself a favor and go meet Killian. I know we have some Irish listeners out there. I see you. Call me. If for some reason you're not into hot Irish accents, though, there is something for everyone on Dipsy. In addition to vivid audio goodness, they even have soothing sleep stories, wellness sessions, and sexy written stories to read. For listeners of the show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/S&S. That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipsystories.com/S&S. The link is also in the episode description, dipsystories.com/S&S. Now back to the episode.
Eduporn is really amazing. Are there any faves that are out there right now?
Yes. How to Hook Up is my personal favorite. It stars Mickey Maude and Vanessa Vega, and they just have really great, amazing chemistry together. Yeah. It's one of our most popular ones.
Love it. Yeah. I remember, there was one I used to watch like a long time ago. But I think even what you're saying, it doesn't need to be like, this is purely education to have these moments of education, right? Whether it's like, oh, just a simple, like I'm grabbing the lube off of the table, showing that like grabbing lube is normal. Or like you said, I'm like telling my partner what I like, and then we're going to do that thing and actually getting it. Like, that's so amazing. I mean, do you think all porn should be like that? Or do you think it's okay to have these, like the action thrillers where we don't see any of the behind the scenes, just knowing that we don't have comprehensive sex ed?
Yeah, I think the answer is more porn. I really do. I think it's okay.
Oh man, those trolls are going to love these clips.
You know, humans just have such a diverse spectrum of sexuality. There's the foot fetish community. There's the cuckold community. There's like every day. I mean, I've been doing this for almost 4 years at this point. And every day people will be like, do you have SDH porn? And I'm like, what is SDH? And I have to Google it. And I'm like, oh, it's small dick humiliation. But still every day I'm finding new types of porn because we as humans are just that creative about what turns us on.
Well, that was one of the things that I had talked about that I think is important to highlight of one of the benefits of porn is, yes, sure, certain porn that feels mainstream where maybe you don't have another view of what sex can look like can decrease maybe body confidence for some people. There's a lot of confidence that can be found through porn because people are like, oh my gosh, I'm normal. Right? Like I'm into this thing and there's a whole category on it, or there's somebody else out there who's into this quote unquote weird thing that I thought there was something wrong with me. And so it has shown, you know, research has been shown that it can increase confidence and relationship satisfaction and sexual satisfaction because people are connecting with other community.
Yeah. Yeah. And like seeing somebody who looks like you experiencing pleasure, giving pleasure, receiving pleasure, like can be really empowering.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on people watching solo versus people watching with a partner?
Yeah, I think that both are great.
As you said, the answer is more porn.
The answer is more porn. Yeah. You know, we all get into our routines, like our masturbation routines, even our like routines with, you know, it's like you've got that easy position with your partner that you're like, okay, this is the go-to, like this is going to work.
Yeah.
And I think that porn is really great for, like sometimes it's part of the routine, but it's also really great for exploring outside of that routine in a way. And I think, especially with a partner, it can take a lot of pressure off of like, okay, I need to be turned on right now, or I need to feel a certain way because like they're initiating. Maybe I'm like, it's a really nice tool to help you sometimes get out of your head and kind of like get in the mood. Yeah. And then if you're not in the mood, you can also blame it on the porn and be like, nope, actually this isn't working for me.
Yeah. Any tips for folks who, maybe one partner, and I could talk about this too, but like any one partner who's interested in watching together or solo and the other partner is not about that life, whether they feel like it's cheating or they are, you know, feeling shameful about it or embarrassed to watch together, like any tips?
Yeah, I think the first tip is don't force it. Like if somebody says they're not into something, then they're not into it and it might just be off the table and that's okay. You know, if the partner is open to the conversation, I think it's really a great way to facilitate talking about, you know, your views on porn, like where did those messages come from? What are they, you know, why do you feel this way? And, you know, like you brought up the thing about cheating, which, is super interesting because it's like a lot of people don't ever have a conversation with their partner about like what is cheating and what isn't cheating, you know?
Right. What's our relational agreement?
Yeah. Is going to a strip club and getting a lap dance cheating? Is, you know, subscribing to somebody's only, maybe watching porn isn't cheating, but subscribing to somebody's OnlyFans is cheating. So porn is always a good conversation to have with your partner about, you know, what their relationship is with it, what they like, what they don't like, because it helps you, you know, I think be curious about your partner's sexuality and identity. And those conversations are always good and fun to have.
And helps you see if your values align, right? Like if you've decided that it's really important to you to have a self-pleasure practice and you want a partner who respects that, is this someone you can talk to and have conversations around like having that supports that? And if they don't, are they willing to at least hear you out and discuss it more and be curious about it? Or do you, maybe you want a relationship where porn is off the table and you do consider it cheating and you want someone who isn't interested either. And you can find that as well. And getting clear, but you know, a lot of people don't talk about this. So then they don't have an agreement and then they get quote unquote caught and then somebody gets hurt and then they think it's detrimental. I want to circle back to what we were talking about earlier about the myth of porn quote unquote addiction. And look, there are certainly people, as you've heard me talk about on the show, go back to an old episode with Dr. David Lay, The Myth of Sex Addiction.
Awesome.
Yes, he's great. If you would like to hear more about this, but sure, just like with anything, if you're not doing it intentionally, it can feel out of control and harmful to you, right?
Yeah.
It can be a negative thing
in your life. Like it is, there are people who find that, you know, watching porn doesn't contribute to kind of the sex life they want to have or, you know, the overall life that they want to have. And that's fine.
Yeah. And I'm such a fan of like the informed consent of it, right? To really like have people get to a place where they've like done the work to figure out if this really is their choice and how that choice is informed and if it matches their values and all of that, as opposed to just like, well, this is what I was taught, or just kind of making the judgment about it without that insight work, you know, and that's unfortunate. But yeah, like the ways I've seen it, when it can feel negative for people for a variety of reasons is like, yeah, if you're not communicating with your partner, if you have some underlying health thing and porn has just become like another dissociative for you that you're using to kind of mask whatever else is happening underneath, whether it be depression, loneliness, trauma, lack of satisfaction in your relationship. I mean, there's so many things, but this could be said for anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I always like to just say, you know, that porn gets scapegoated for all these things, but like porn is not the problem. It's the lack of comprehensive sex ed and the lack of discussion around the nuances of this.
Yeah. And it's like porn is just a mirror of who we are as a society as well. And like, cause like I said, you know, mainstream porn is just making stuff based on what gets searched for, what gets clicked, what gets watched. Yeah. So it's really kind of this reflection of what we're looking for as a society rather than the cause of it.
Yeah. Whether it's in your life, if you're comfortable sharing, or friends or viewers of Afterglow, what are some of the like stories or anecdotes you've heard about how porn has helped people or relationships?
Yeah. I've definitely seen people say that it's really brought them closer with their partners because it really, I think porn can really help open conversations and make it easier to have conversations with people because you can watch a film and you can say like, this is what I want. Yeah. And like, you know, a picture is worth a thousand words. And
some people need to learn from visual practice.
Yeah. And also, and even just having like, okay, you know, I've had stories where people were able to open up to their partners about, you know, okay, maybe I like a type of porn that is just a fantasy and it's not something we do together. And that always really, it warms my heart. Like people really say with Afterglow, it really helps them kind of just get in the mood, like get into that space where we are able to step away from our busy lives, our to-do list, everything running through our head and kind of get into that, like into your body, feeling sexy, like wanting, feeling that, like, that turn on, that like sex, like I think in my bio, like that sexual power feeling, like that's what I want to create with Afterglow. Like, I just want women to, like, I think so many of us, like, it's so easy just to get bogged down by our lives and like forget that we are these amazing, hot sexual beings. And I think that porn is a very easy way to kind of like get that reminder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would add to it as well. Like, I just had a colleague on who has a podcast, Sex Ed with DB. And we were talking about a magic wand masturbation experiment that she did. I don't know if you saw this, but for folks listening, go back and check that episode out or check out the research. But this is also shown in other research around porn watching that especially for femmes or people with vaginas, you know, I guess I'm not sure how they identified in the research, but for folks, you know, especially those who have responsive desire, it's something that actually increases, you know, desire. So it's not like, if you watch it, you're like, oh, I'm satiated and now I don't want to connect with my partner. That can be true for some people if you're like only turning to porn. But for other people, like, it builds the interest. So that was one of the things I think DB shared that she found in her research was that like the more sex you have, the more sex you have. So
yeah,
like the more that's doing it, it actually made you hornier. So it was like, if your watch, for me at least, and for a lot of my clients, especially the femmes and women I work with, they say that like it builds their interest. So then they're having this sort of like vibrational erotic energy flowing through them that then they bring into their relationship with a partner or into their life with themselves, as opposed to like, oh, I'm going to watch this and now it's, you know, I've lost my energy.
And that's 100% true for me. Like, very funny doing this as a job and it'll be like 2 PM and there'll be like porn on my computer screen and I'll like text my partner and I'll be like, I'm turned on. Like, I'm watching this right now. Like, wish you were here. Like,
yeah, you know, here's what I'm going to do to you later.
Yeah.
Yeah. My partner and I encourage people to do this, but we have like a shared note on our iPhone and we'll like put in videos that we both like, just so I can like remember and link them for later, but also, so if we want to share and yeah, some videos are just for me that, you know, are mine that I don't want to share, but others that I want to share, go in there.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, would recommend. But yeah, I think that's another piece of like why this is nuanced is like, there are some people out there who once they have sex or whatever, they aren't interested in connecting anymore with others or self, and good to be curious about why that is. You know, are you dissociating, or are you just, you know, less sexually charged? And if you know that about yourself, then yeah, maybe you do want to be more intentional about how and when you watch, if you're noticing that you're not connecting with your partner because you're doing that instead. But then there's those of us that we're talking about who are like, no, this helps. So there's no like one size fits all with this. Like, it's just, to me, it's a relationship. Like, figure out your relationship with porn, and you can have one, you cannot have one, but like, take the time to figure it out.
Yeah, 100%.
How did you end up getting into Afterglow?
Yeah, so Afterglow has always been the crazy idea that I have always wanted to do, but was too scared to do because it was really difficult telling my friends and family that I'm like starting a porn company. I started my career as an accountant. I feel like you can't make a bigger jump than accountant to running a porn company.
Well, I don't know. You have to know about numbers and money stuff. So
yeah. Yeah. And I did do kind of like a startup, kind of in between before Afterglow and after I was an accountant. And, you know, I was in a relationship with my high school sweetheart from age 15 to 30. And I didn't orgasm until I was 24. And I always wanted to learn from porn and like use porn as a tool to communicate with my partner about what I wanted, but I couldn't find porn that helped me do that. Like, it didn't help me actually have a better sex life. Mm-hmm. And so that was really the idea behind Afterglow. It was like, how do you create porn that is hot and sexy and turns you on, but also helps you have a better relationship with sex?
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. And if you're comfortable sharing anything that was helpful in coming out to your family or friends that you did decide to share this with.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things you have to just hype yourself up and, you know, think about, like, I think one thing that helped me was like, well, what's kind of the best case scenario of what can come out of it? And what's kind of the worst case scenario? Like, what's the fear of telling your friends and family? Mm-hmm. You know, is it that they're going to think about you differently? They're going to think this about, they're going to think you're a slut, that they're going to like, think you're, you know, like to get tied up on the weekends. Like, what are you actually scared about in telling them? Yeah. That was really helpful for me. Cause it kind of, I think like prepared, like I felt prepared then for kind of like the range of what would happen. And then when I actually told my mom, her reaction was like totally out there. She was like, I was like, mom, you know, starting this company, I want to make porn for women. And she's like, oh, yeah. Like, women don't really care about the cum shot, do they?
Yes, mom. Yes.
And I was like, oh, this was not anything in that whole like fear land or like, yeah, this is just not
you're
anything
like that
I
was not
predicted.
An outcome that I could have predicted. Yeah. Maybe this was her dream all along. And then you
yeah.
I love that.
Because in my family, we didn't really talk about sex.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it sounds like hopefully it's been healing for them to now have this yeah. be a topic that is okay to talk about.
I was actually, I told, I have three aunts, and I told my aunts, and they were like, the youngest one was like, yeah, like, you know, I learned about sex from the middle aunt. And the middle aunt was like, oh, like, well, I learned about it from the oldest one. And the oldest one was like, I was just making it all up.
Which is like funny, but also scary, right? Because that's how a lot of people learn. They're learning from friends and like all these weird, incorrect things. And I don't say, I usually say weird in a good way, but here I mean it like scary, like who knows what the fuck they're learning.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's wild. I love that. I still
can't. I think that was when like they kind of got it. They're like, oh, I get why you're doing this now.
Yeah. And one last question. You mentioned struggling with orgasm until 24. Mm-hmm. So if porn didn't help, anything that did help?
Self-pleasure.
Listeners out there. Yeah.
Self-pleasure practice. It was going to this, like, again, like taking that step from being embarrassed, going to the sex store, getting the sex toy, and like actually exploring my own body, which, you know, I think part of the reason was because I had a partner so early, I never really took the time to form that relationship with myself and like knowing my own body. And so it's like, I had this idea that my partner should know what I wanted and be able to give that to me when I didn't know what I wanted. And so it's like, how are they going to know if I don't even know?
Yeah. And I think I've talked about this on the show before, but I think I want to have another episode about this. So look back, listeners, or stay tuned. Just like a lot of people, once they figure it out for themselves, there's a lot of us that struggle to then translate it to with a partner. So
yeah,
any tools for that, but stay tuned for a longer episode on that.
And so I'll make a plug on Afterglow. We have a guided partner cunnilingus exercise. It's an audio exercise and it's really great. I love it because it takes the pressure off of both people to have somebody else telling you what to do the whole time. Like mm-hmm. it's not up to either of you. And so if you don't like it, it's not your fault or your partner's fault.
Yeah.
It's the video. And it also helps. It's a video. Exactly. And it also helps create a shared language. Cause a lot of us, like, what circles means to like you versus your partner versus like their previous partners could mean like 10 different things.
Totally. Yeah. Well, what's the direction and how hard is the circle? And is it like circles this way or so? Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. Well, I'll put some links in the show notes to link back to some episodes about that, but stay tuned for a longer one on that, listeners. And I'm just so excited to feature Afterglow. They have sponsored the show before. You hopefully have heard about them. If you haven't, how can people check out Afterglow, get some eduporn or just plain pleasure and get connected?
Yes, they should go to xoafterglow.com. And we could do a free 7-day trial for all of your listeners. We'll put the code in the show notes. Oh, I can't remember the code off the top of my head. And you can connect with us on Instagram. We're currently not banned. We are xoafterglow with 2 W's on Instagram and xoafterglow on Twitter.
Congrats on not currently being banned. I hope that lasts. Any tips or secrets for that? Please let us know. Sometimes it's just luck.
Yeah. Yeah. Constant struggle in our industry, as you know.
Yeah. Oy. Well, thank you so much for joining, Lily. I'm so glad that Afterglow exists. Big fan. And let us know. Email slutsandscholars@gmail.com to tell us about your Afterglow experiences. And if you want to follow what I'm doing, I'm on Instagram at slutsandscholars, on Twitter or X, whatever, at slutscholars. You can listen anywhere you get your podcast. Please don't forget to rate and review and talk to you next time. Thank you, Lily.
Thank you so much.
Sluts and Scholars, a podcast for professionals who prioritize pleasure. Sluts and Scholars is a podcast produced by Sluts and Scholars Media, LLC. It is a shame-free educational podcast made for your entertainment and informational desires only. The podcast, any opinions we share, and any resources, including social media and emails from us, are not therapy, medical care, or professional advice, and do not create a patient-client relationship. None of the information, opinions, suggestions, resources, or exercises mentioned in this podcast should be used without clearance from your healthcare provider. All opinions, information, and ideas expressed by the guests are solely their own. If you need emergency mental health or medical help, please call 911 or 988 or go to your nearest emergency center. We hope you enjoy the show.